going on, everyone? Welcome to the Purple People Podcast. My name is Kyle Smith, and it is Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. We are in the middle of draft season, and yeah, we're going to talk about the draft today. I am joined by Adam Carlson. How are you, sir?
I cannot guarantee that I'll be here for the whole show because my weather is not great.
Yeah, Adam, you're in Michigan, correct? And it is just... When you said this today, compared to where I'm at in Richmond, Virginia, I couldn't fathom it first. And then, yeah, you were like, I don't know that I'll be able to get on. I may not have power. I was like, oh, shit. Okay.
Well, I also have satellite internet. So when it's storming, it's almost impossible to get a good, decent internet. Because out where I live, I'm so far out in the country that I could have DSL, but it's very, very slow. And other companies don't come out here. And when I had the satellite internet set up, they still didn't have like the 5G internet as a regular thing. I might think about swapping to that because that's more reliable.
Yeah. Well, internet not being the utmost important, I just want you to have heat and power. So we will hope and pray that you keep that and nothing crazy happens. 14 inches of snow is insane to me. I've never seen 14 inches of snow outside of... a trip to Kyrgyzstan. That's it.
It's still coming down too.
That's crazy. What about you, Kyle West? How is Iowa today?
It is windy as hell outside right now. Like rattle your windows. What is going on outdoors? Kind of like wind. Like it's insane. It started last night, and literally everyone at work was like, "Yeah, I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning and thought." Good Lord, what's going on outside?
Yeah, I look out my side windows here and I see gigantic branches and smaller trees just pushed over. It's wild.
I won't complain. It was very muggy and just a day where it rained and it was foggy and felt like I lived in Seattle or London today, but such is spring before the heat comes.
Speaking of London, who knows? Maybe the Kansas City Chiefs will be shipped there.
It's so funny. It's so funny to read that. And I saw one of the Dallas elected officials was like lobbying. He's like, come to Dallas. We'd love to have you. It's like, don't you guys already have $1 billion team?
Yeah, Texas has enough teams.
I've seen fans in St. Louis were like, hey, come back here. We would like to have a professional sports team again.
You know what would be funny? And I don't think they're going to move, but if they did, they should put them in a part of the country where no one else is, but that's the best team.
What, like Idaho?
Like Montana, just put them in. They're the Montana Chiefs now, just kicking everybody's ass. And there's a population of like 8,000 people nearby.
The oh Boise my gosh, Buffaloes.
There you go. Yeah, you guys can look that up. I don't have the official article or whatever, but Adam's referring to a little tension in Kansas City where, and we talked about this right before the show started, where the tax-paying citizens don't want their money being put towards a stadium, which is hilarious because. With all the money that team brings in and them being the world champions, you would think they would have a little
star. Right? Imagine if they were a bad team.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we would love to have that problem in 31 other cities in the country, or franchises, I should say. Some share the same. But, yeah, that's crazy.
But not every team has the great ownership that Minnesota has. Minnesota's got ownership that they'll do whatever it takes to make sure. You guys have still, well, West might have. Have you ever been out to Viking Lakes, West?
No, I have not.
It's real nice. Highly recommend.
Well, I tell you what, that is one off-season story I do not miss happen to rehash, and that is, will the Vikings get a new stadium in Minnesota? What's going to go on with the
I actually
stadium?
Tuned into, like, the live votes and everything. I'm like, what am I watching and why?
Yeah, what am I doing with my life? Why am I watching this? I don't know.
Skull to everyone in the chat. Not changing up the format of the show, just asking how everybody's doing. It's an exciting week for me. I'm closing the sale of my home this weekend. I'm driving back to Charlotte tomorrow to finalize that. And now I don't have to pay for two houses.
And now Smith's getting all geared up for WrestleMania this weekend.
I wish I could, man.
Former Minnesota Vikings defender Roman Reigns will be wrestling on both nights of WrestleMania.
That's cool.
I did not know that.
And did you see the article that, or not article, but the video that this is part of Roman Reigns' documentary that said he actually didn't know about his leukemia until he went and took physical for the Minnesota Vikings and they found it?
Huh. Wow. I feel that in my core, though. I've torn my labrum in my left hip, and I have arthritis in both of mine. It's very, very annoying. And I came in because I had pain in my hip and my groin, and I was like, hey, can you guys check this out? And they're like, yeah, sure. While you're here, let's run blood work. And they're like, sir, did you know that your blood sugar is so high you should be dead? And I was like, is this a late like prank or something? Like late April Fool's here in December? And they're like, your blood sugar is 541. It should be between 70 and 150. It's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't ingest soda every single hour of the day. Maybe I should stop that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that about Roman Reigns when I saw the video, and now I'm just surprising that something so, I won't say insignificant in his life, but I guess now it's kind of like just a little footnote. But, you know, just coming into Minnesota for a workout and getting a little bit of blood drawn, and I guess I stopped him when he tried to go out in the field and told him all about it. Man, that has to be a tough conversation.
That's one of those, like, you have those lucky moments. I, for me, was not going to the doctor because I didn't feel like I needed to. I know I'd gained weight and I was a little fat, but I think that's most of us, especially after COVID, sitting around doing nothing and getting used to changing your lifestyle. But Charlotte says, what do they have you on now? Mostly water. But they put me on metformin for diabetes, and I checked my blood sugar yesterday morning. It was like 114.
100 cc's of Baja Blast.
Yeah. No more sugar. I have a soda maybe once a week now just because I like the taste and I've had them for so long. But I pretty much started fasting. I don't eat breakfast ever, so I kept that as a normal routine. But now I eat between a six-hour window every day, usually between 11 a.m. and 5 or noon and 6, wherever that six-hour window is. And I absolutely make myself go work out. I have found that you don't have to kill yourself in the gym. You just have to go consistently. And I did that. And
have you tried a lot of those like zero drinks?
Yeah, actually, you guys are right here. Diet drinks. Diet Pepsi is my go-to, Diet Coke. And usually like Gatorade Zero, whatever. No sugar of any kind. When I do, I have it very sparingly. Like I'll have, I don't know why. Lately I've been craving like a cupcake. I feel...
What is that one pop that you really love? Did they make that in zero?
Oh, no. They have diet caffeine free, but it's only around the Charlotte area. I just stick with the basics here. I don't have to get Diet Pepsi anywhere. Yes, damn. It's a pain in the ass. I don't have to prick my finger every day. I check it every like 2 or 3 days, but I feel a difference. I weighed myself this morning. I am down 26 pounds.
Somehow I'm the only person in my family that did not have diabetes. So I don't know how I avoided it. Magic, I think.
This is correct right here. I'm glad you don't, Adam. It's annoying because I feel like we're going on a rant here, but I feel like we're set up for failure in America anyways. Everything's processed, there's sugar and everything. And I don't know how that became a thing to make everyone want to be sedentary. I don't know if there's like, put your tinfoil hat on for this episode. I don't know if they want everyone to be.
Yeah, you guys better be jogging while you listen to this.
I'm literally in my gym attire right now. I took a nap when I came home from work, and I fully am ready to go for the podcast, but I'm going to the gym after because.
I am not. I'm staying
home. I go every. You have a good excuse, though. You can't leave. Unless you've got a husky sled team out there.
You can tell we're deep in the off season right here when we're 10 minutes of like, hey, here's our diets this week, folks.
Charlotte, I want it too.
About Ozempic, I want to give you a little bit of suggestion. Ask your doctor about Victoza. Ask him if that would be a good one for you, because I started taking that, and not only does it regulate your insulin, but it helps in weight loss too, and it's been fantastic for me.
They were going to put me on insulin shots, and I said, no, please don't. I think this is type 2 diabetes. I can beat this with going to the gym or whatever else. I did mine today. I'm on the same thing. And yeah, I didn't think we were going to start the show off like this. Hilarious. Sam is right too. It's genetics. My mom and my dad had it. So I guess it's predetermined. Also, just a PSA for everyone, don't eat like a fucking raccoon. Don't eat like literal trash every day. And you have a very good chance of not developing a disease that will kill you.
Oh, I treated my body so bad for so many years.
Me too.
So many.
Me too. And this is the one. I don't know where I'm at now. I know about a month and a half ago, it was like 8.6. And I am certain it's gone down because I've been doing what I need to.
I'm around 6.2 now.
Actually, Charlotte, we eat like goats. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, you don't chew very. You chew very loudly and circular, like this. What do you mean by that?
But you can tell there's not a lot of actual Minnesota Vikings news going on.
Yeah, we got to get out of this if we're going to lose people. There's 6 people watching right now. I'm so sorry. That's just an update on what's going on. I was excited to talk about that, and then we got to the health stuff. But take care of yourselves, please.
We could, for about the 13th or 14th week in a row, discuss what quarterback the Vikings are going
to take. Yeah, who knows how long we're going to live in order to see the Vikings win something.
Yeah, you better be healthy, because you better plan on living a long time if you want to see this franchise win a Super Bowl.
That's why I'm getting healthy. I gotta make it till 2050 to see where the fuck we end up.
2050? You're thinking conservatively. 2050. Yeah.
25 more years would be great. Let's see. Tongue hanging out.
Isn't it weird to think that Stephon Diggs has been in the league starting next year? Next year will be his 10th NFL season.
That is wild. Hey, Sergio, well, what a great timing for that.
We might as well lead off with that one.
Yeah, if you guys didn't hear, the Buffalo Bills traded wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Texans today in exchange for a second-round pick. I know they dealt some later picks as well. Houston pretty much used the second rounder we gave them this year to get Diggs, which is a full-circle moment, seeing that we've done a lot of
things. I actually wanted to ask you guys something about that.
Sure.
If they hadn't made that trade for Minnesota and still had their first rounder, do you think they would have had to have given up their first rounder to go get Diggs?
Considering the circumstances, I don't think so. I think they would have asked, and they probably would have countered with that if they could have. I don't feel like Stephon Diggs is a first-round receiver now.
I was going to say.
I'm not discounting him at all.
I'm discounting him. I would not give a first-round pick.
He's been a 1,000-yard receiver for, like, what, 6 consecutive seasons now?
Yeah, he's very, very good. I think he's not a good person.
You would not let him date your sister.
I would not let him date my sister based on.
Yeah, and how many more? I mean, a first round pick, that's a really big investment. How many more 1,000-yard seasons do you think you're really going to get out of Stephon Diggs? I don't know.
Let me add on to that, Kyle. This is a great point. I wanted to say this today, and you kind of gave me a great stepping stone to say this. This is different than if you had a Larry Fitzgerald, a Calvin Johnson. So I think both of those receivers would agree better than Stephon. But also, how much time does he have left? But two, there's so much distraction with this dude. You didn't have that with those other players. There is always some weird – and I'm not saying that he's – like Antonio Brown distraction level.
He's
but
not.
There's always some level of weirdness, and there's a cancerous vibe there as far as teammate goes. And I could be dead wrong.
We joke. Joke in our private chat all the time. It's like, hey, it's cryptic Stephon Diggs tweet season. Like, what is he tweeting about today? What does this emoji mean?
And I said it today on Twitter. I said, you know, for a guy that's had a pretty damn good career, this is going to overshadow everything because of all the drama he's had. He didn't want to play under the run scheme with Cook and Zimmer and Cousins.
Which
so he
I
got
don't,
out of there.
Hey, I don't blame him for wanting out of that situation in Minnesota.
I do. You know why? This is why it's stupid as shit that he wanted to leave Minnesota. You're after the miracle, you were a local hometown legend. And
correct.
You had a solid number two who wasn't necessarily nipping at your heels, but would give you all of the looks that you needed to maintain your number one status. Then, okay, well, I want a better quarterback. I want a team that's going to force feed me the ball. Okay, I hear you. You go get that. That's fine. There's four more quarterbacks, and I'm being generous with that, better than Josh Allen in the league. I think there's probably two, maybe three on a good day. I'm not discounting C.J. Stroud at all. You're staying in the same conference with Mahomes. You didn't better your situation, is what I'm saying. If it stayed the same, I can see that argument all day long. I don't
Houston was a playoff team. Worse.
Yeah, you go with a playoff team. That's good. But what was wrong with the team you were on? They traded for you. They loved you.
They've been falling apart for years. The window has been closing on Buffalo for a while now.
And I can also understand a receiver not wanting to play all those games outdoors in the elements. Like, hey, go to Houston inside, better weather, better atmosphere. So,
and the window in Houston is just opening now. So, I mean, it's great for them.
Yeah. I guess I see that side of it. I really hate that he's had Houston, like Adam said, what, 5,000 or 6,000 yard seasons in a row. But the only thing I worry about with him, and maybe I'm just a scorned Vikings fan because we saw it here and it was annoying more than anything. But you're such a good player. Why do you have to have this drive? He can't not have attention. And he can't just be like, there's no Stephon Diggs news. Like, he just shows up and balls out. Like, it just can't be show up, go to work, whatever. I'm not trying to take away your personality. If you want to dress flashy and you want to do fun things and go to events and be seen, like, that's what that position is. But let's not act like – go ahead.
In a big moment, you want your star players to want the football to win you the game. Like, if the game's on the line, I want Justin Jefferson.
But he fucking dropped it last year. He dropped a 60-yard goddamn pass in the playoffs last year. So right. I don't want to hear that shit, Stephon Diggs.
Right.
Do your job. Right.
But
I don't think other NFL players aren't noticing Diggs being, you know, doing Diggs things. I don't know if you guys follow Sauce Gardner, but he was asked about his top five receivers in the NFL. And he said he would not include Stephon Diggs because Stephon Diggs would not include him. He left him as an honorable mention.
There you go.
I love it.
I guess where I was going, though, is that, like, when the game's on the line, you know Justin Jefferson wants the ball because he wants to score and he wants to win that game for you. But Justin Jefferson's also okay
to, like, give it to someone else.
That's right where I was going. It's also a team sport. So if in a big moment the ball goes to TJ Hockenson and the Vikings still win the football game, it's not like JJ is going to be pissed off about that. I always felt like with Stephon Diggs that if there's a big moment, a big play, the game is on the line, and the football goes to Adam Thielen instead, even if it's a good outcome, Diggsy was still a little pissed off that the ball didn't go to him, that he wasn't in that big spotlight. You know what I mean?
He wanted the attention, and he wanted the fan. And like I said, this is a diva position. What I was going to say, I didn't want to keep going because I know you had something good to jump in, is let's not act like Justin Jefferson doesn't come in with swag, doesn't have his own touchdown.
He does.
That is part of the position, and I respect and love that part of the game. But it's this constant, like, it's the cryptic stuff that mostly irritates me. It's like, hey, man, you want all the attention, but when it's thrown at you, you want to play these troll games. Just man up and be an alpha and just be direct about it, because if that's what you truly want to do, cool. But I don't see him ever being that guy anyways. I feel like, and I'm sure he would laugh me out of the building because he's an athlete and I'm not, but I feel like he's a fake tough guy. I feel like he wants to be one. I feel like he's a fake tough guy who's like, oh, I want to be the star and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, hey, what'd you mean by this? And you're like, nah, I don't want to talk about that. And he's also the guy, and we brought it up earlier, that everyone in the Vikings locker room says he's a fucking womanizer. I don't want him dating my sister because it's kind of.
Do you remember? I know what you mean. Do you remember when Andre Johnson beat the shit out of Courtland Finnegan on the field? like a legitimate tough guy, right there.
Yeah, I know
what you mean. And like Diggs is probably he probably is one of those guys who, if he actually got into a fight, someone would just beat the shit out of him.
I'm not saying he's not a tough human. For what he does on the football field, I respect the absolute shit out of. And being a Vikings fan, I can't lie. I'm not going to sit here and lie. Like, when the miracle happened in 2017, I didn't lose my voice for 3 days screaming. Of course I did. But I can separate that from looking at all of the stuff, of the everything that jumps out and screams, this dude is a red flag. He's a walking red flag. I guess
that miracle play is one of the top two or three greatest plays in Minnesota Vikings history. Yeah. It was that big and that iconic and that, like, you, Minneapolis Miracle, you say that, any Vikings fan, like, immediately is going to remember where they are and what they were doing and just the whole flood of emotions that came after that.
However, spent days watching reaction videos from that play.
However, we talked about this on the show, Stephon Diggs is never going to have a bigger moment than that in his career, which is kind of why it was okay to move on from him.
Well, let's talk about part of that, too, is we're talking about the biggest moment that he – I lost my train of thought. Keep going. It'll come back to me. Old man or early onset dementia is here. Go ahead.
CTE.
What's interesting for Diggs, though, is that in Houston, he's going to have a couple of young receivers nipping at his heels there. Nico Collins is very good, and Tank Dell stepped up in a big way. And they got Joe Mixon at running back. I mean, they got plenty of weapons. Diggs can go there and be penciled in as the number one, but who's to say it's going to shake out with him being number one?
That's a good point. I like the move for the Texans. They also added Danielle Hunter. There was a fun stat today that said no team, I don't know in how many years or if it's ever, has added a 1,000-yard running back, 100-catch receiver, and a 10-plus sack defensive end in free agency, but the Texans did that all in like a matter of a month. So don't – I'm not discrediting them for making the move. I'm not saying this is a bad move.
This is why
– they nailed their first-round picks last year.
This is why, to segue into, I hate to say it again, but the draft of the quarterback for the Vikings, if you hit on that rookie quarterback like what the Texans did, it gives you that window where you can be aggressive with the way free agency is set up, and you can add, like you said, really dynamic players on both sides of the ball, and you can make a run, and you can make a turnaround really quickly in the NFL. So it is, like we have said numerous times, a really important key draft for the Minnesota Vikings and for the future of this franchise.
Do you remember when Houston was lining up and if they lost the last game of the season, they were going to have the number one overall pick, and instead they got the touchdown and went for two, won the game. The coach gets fired, and that changed the history of the whole league changed.
Hey, shout out to Lovie Smith. They might have hated him in the building, but the fans absolutely love that move. I love it just for the chaos and the anarchy of it, and being like, hey, it's kind of like when we knew Mike Zimmer was about to get fired that last year, and that next to last game, they're asking about Kellen Mond, and it's like, do you like what you see, or is there anything that stands out? And he said, not particularly.
That's such a
Did you guys see Josh Dobbs' comments about Jaren Hall?
No.
He is a big Jaren Hall fan. He feels like he has the potential to develop into something special.
Nice.
And I don't know, Dobbs might not be a guy you'd look at for a quarterback evaluation. But either way, it's nice to hear something good about a quarterback that, you know, you're not going to start him, you're not going to have him as your backup, but he's on the team, you can watch him develop over time, and it's going to be fun to see that.
I'll tell you what I've never seen, especially on the record. Maybe they talk shit about each other off the record, and it's just like an unspoken. But the quarterback position is such a brotherhood and so respected. Mm-hmm. You see guys that maybe they compete against each other. Like, let's just say Marcus Mariota, because he had a weird notification that popped up on my timeline today. I'll talk about that in a second. But he was a starter. He's won a playoff game. He's had a little success. Now he's a career backup. You know, you're playing underneath now and behind on the depth chart on these guys that you used to compete against, or younger guys that the team wants to take a chance on. But you always hear like a story like this where Josh Dobbs, who's competing with a rookie, who's like, hey, none of us are Kirk Cousins, and we're kind of like at each other's throats for, you know, status here, and maybe, you know, we have a future contract, blah, blah, blah. But they're always so respectful, and they're always like, man, I like this guy's that, the way he studies, mm-hmm. the way he does this. It's always something like that. I love that. I'm glad you made that story. Marcus Mariota point, he is the first quarterback that will ever wear zero. He has joined the Washington Commanders this offseason, and he will wear zero, being the first one. And I thought that was weird.
That's a choice. No, Apple, I do not want to do a software update right now. Please stop.
Wes says, I can't remember what NFL analyst it was, but he's saying that Drake May could be the next Andrew Luck, especially if he goes to a team with an offensive head coach. 2 points to this. I'm going to go off on this. One, Cowherd, Daniel Jeremiah, all these guys have said, whatever quarterback goes to Minnesota will have the most success, not named Caleb Williams. I agree with that because I think the pieces are friendly. It's the coach more than anything. But two, I see the comparison with Andrew Luck. Not that I think that Drake May is as talented as Andrew Luck, but I've watched all of his college games. He is tough as shit. I've seen him get absolutely blasted by defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebackers, all that. He hangs in the pocket, and he loves to throw. Like, he's a gunslinger. I'm not saying you're getting Jay Cutler, but he's not afraid to throw a 50-yard bomb 8 times a game.
Why does every boomer account on Twitter hate and think that Caleb Williams is going to be a bust?
Because he paints his fingernails, and they think that's gay, and they have something weird in their brain about possibly a gay person playing in a macho man sport, even though Caleb Williams isn't gay, and it's just – oh my God, because I don't like
Kane. We're hitting the point where the Gen Z generation is finally coming into professional sports, and they are, I mean, I'm not knocking them.
They're a little different.
They're a little different from millennials, and they're certainly different from the boomer generation. And at this is the largest generational gap between like the boomers and the Gen Zs, and it's just there's a rift there between
them. I'm not going to defend the boomers. I'll go on the thing that they will agree with here. I think that if you have to do that, that causes so much distraction, the locker room will correct you and say, hey, you need to cut your bullshit out of, I need to have everybody looking at this, this, and this, because this is the way I am. And I know these guys want to let their personality shine.
Fine. So here's the best example of, if you have enough talent, it doesn't matter. Dennis Rodman in the 90s, anyone? Hello, he used to wear a dress.
Cam Newton wasn't the most normal guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam had a lot of weird outfits. Dennis Rodman, too. I'm not going against your point, Kyle. I'm saying because of the position that Caleb Williams plays, he's not, you know, putting his hand in the dirt and rushing after people. Dennis Rodman would actually beat the fuck out of you. People forget about – you're talking about the Chicago Bulls, Dennis Rodman. 90s, people forget he was part of that bad boy Pistons team would beat the absolute shit out of Michael Jordan every year. Dennis Rodman would fuck you up.
Rodman was a – yeah, I know what you mean. Rodman was a bona fide tough guy.
He had that reputation where nobody was going to say nothing.
And he's so much larger. These are such larger humans, like – height-wise, at least, I don't find Caleb Williams to be particularly intimidating at all. I think people hate him mostly because, and I'll say it, he reminds me
of Aaron, losing a game.
He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers on and off the field. He is very smug. He is very confident in himself, and he's very good on the field. And I think that bothers people when guys know that and they show it and they're like, "I'm fucking good at what I do. What do you want me to do about it?"
It's like anything else. If they win, if he produces and puts up numbers on the field, guess what? He can paint his nails and wear whatever it wants.
Let's be honest, it won't take much to lead the Bears franchise in any passing stat.
Yeah, it won't. But if he does that, it don't matter. If he's a bust, yeah, you betcha, then it's a problem. But if he gets it done, then who cares?
I'm trying to round it out because I don't want this to be on a server that'll outlast humanity, and I don't like make my point to be completely understood. I don't have a problem with him doing that. I was saying earlier that if you bring that in and it becomes a distraction, you're full of a locker room full of alpha males, half of them that play defense that will eat your face off. They will be like, "Hey, you need to cut the bullshit out. You need to lead the team. Stop being a fucking distraction." I'm not saying that he is. But if that's what it was, I can totally see this blowing up. But I've watched a bunch of highlights of him, and I saw a few games, not this year, but his Heisman year. The dude is fucking good at football. And to both of your points, if he jumps in and by week 3 we're all like, wait, he's got 6 touchdowns in 2 games and he's rushed for 2, he might be a fucking problem. Oh, shit, nobody's going to care at all about that. And it's just it's going to make that generation even more mad because they'll find little things to nitpick about that. Like, would I paint my nails? No,
just wait.
I just didn't grow up in that generation. But let's
it's just wait like my, until.
Hold on, let me finish laughing because this hits home for me. I see why I'm so passionate about it. This is like those guys in the fucking military that I served with that their guts hanging over their fucking belt. And I'm like, how do you pass a physical fitness test? And I go get a tattoo and they're like, that's unprofessional. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
How, do you own a fucking mirror? What about you? You have four chins. What do you mean? Or, you know, I show up and I have a little stubble because I shaved last night instead of this morning. And they're like, that's bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it doesn't affect how I do my job at all. What do you mean? I think that's what it, and that comes from that same generation. It totally makes sense now.
Yeah.
And Jonathan, back me up on this.
I was going to say, just wait until instead of him doing a State Farm commercial or something, that he's in like, that he's in a commercial for like, I don't know, some kind of fingernail polish or something like that. That's just going to piss all of the boomers off.
Or wait till June comes around and it's Pride Month and he does like an Ally commercial, or he, let's say like Justin Herbert is with SoFi Stadium, all that. And let's say he does a commercial for whatever's big in Chicago or that area. And then they do like a Pride Month commercial. And he is like, hey, this and this, I support this. Man, the heads are going to fucking explode next year.
I want him to come out and be like, deep dish pizza sucks.
One thing we can all agree on, though, is that Caleb Williams has normal elbows.
He does. While JD Daniels
that picture freaks not. Me out, and I am not drafting him based on that photo.
So if you land on the ground with your elbow like that, that is going to be terrible.
I've seen a video. Sure, okay.
There's a video with a doctor explaining that whole thing and like what causes it, and I still don't understand it.
You have to be a killer athlete to have that much definition in your arm for us to be talking about it. None of us have that fucking problem.
No.
Anyways, we went to this part of the show and I wanted to talk about it because I've seen it on Twitter and I understand the logic. I'm going to preface this whole main topic of the episode saying I don't think this is going to happen at all.
There's a main topic.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, we're talking about diabetes today would be the main topic.
Diabetes.
I'm a fucking fat red panda. That's what I am. There is a world where the draft board goes nuts. Like, let's say Caleb Williams goes one, and then J.J. McCarthy goes second to the Commanders. And then, holy shit, fire sale. I think Minnesota's in too good of a position having two first-rounders to not be the winner of, like, the New England pick at three. Or whatever, but let's say this.
Yeah, I don't know if like the Giants or someone would be willing to spend more than Minnesota. I don't know if that's possible.
There's a lot working for the Vikings in this year's draft, but let's say Caleb Williams to the Bears, JJ McCarthy is the pick for the Commanders. There's a fucking free for all now for four teams that need, and there's only two quarterbacks that are left. You've got current Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels from LSU, and then big prototype, big arm Drake May, who I hope the Vikings take. Well, let's say Denver or Oakland or New York.
I've heard Sean Payton and Denver are all in on getting themselves a quarterback in this year's draft. They're going to be a competitor with Minnesota on trading up. It's how much ammo. And I think the Vikings, like you said, are set in a good position where they have good ammo that they can give up this year to move up into the draft class.
I agree.
And if you're New England, okay, and you have problems all over your team, okay, and you can trade back from 3 to 11, and you're still, hey, we covet these 10 players. We're okay with any of them coming onto our roster, and we can acquire these other, you know, these other picks in the draft as well. You're taking that, right?
I hope that's what they do because, yeah, they do have Jarrett, what's his name? Jacoby Brissett. He's there. He was there before. And he's a fine middle-of-the-road bridge quarterback, whatever. But
yeah,
you can, and that's the ammo that works against Minnesota is, hey, we're going to draft the rookie and we're going to sit him and we're going to let Jacoby Brissett play here. I think the fans would hate that, but I think that's a smart football move. The only thing I think that's really working against New England is since Tom Brady left, they have not been good. Even a year they go to the playoffs, they lose immediately.
Yeah.
They've had Mac Jones start off hot and then regress every year. They're going to want some kind of like hope to win now. But, yeah, I think we should trade. I think New England should be the trade partner. I think that solidifies that you get Jaden Daniels or Drake May, and you don't have to get an overreach for J.J. McCarthy at four. But
I think he's going, dude. He's going to Washington.
I don't think so. I think you have the Heisman Trophy winner there, and you got Cliff Kingsbury drafted Kyler Murray, and this is just a taller, better version.
See, I'd say Washington would be stupid to do that, but it's Washington.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would say that too, but they have all new, smarter head. Like Dan Quinn's been to, he's won Super Bowls as a DC.
Yeah, and then that's true.
He's been to the Super Bowl as, like, they're smart and they got a new owner. So maybe they're not dumb anymore. I don't know. It's hard. I know what you mean, Adam. It's like, does it linger in the building? Why has Cleveland been bad for so long? They've changed owners and coaches like they change underwear. I don't know. Maybe it just stays in the building. But in the scenario, let's say X, Y, and Z happens, and the Vikings get outbid, and they're like, oh, shit, we just found ourselves not putting it together a package good enough to go into the top five, and now the only quarterbacks that are available are Michael Penix and Bo Nix. We're going to stay put at 11. I have picked out prospects, according to Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, and this is not their mock draft. This is their overall most talented players. I'm not
Kyler Murray.
Yeah. He's on here for some weird reason years later. This is not going to be like – I don't think the Vikings are going to take an offensive tackle. I think O'Neal and Darisaw are pretty set there.
Right.
I'm realistically going to say they're probably not going to break the mold and take a guard at 11. I don't think there's a guard worth the 11th pick anyways, but I'm trying to think of team needs and fits and where these guys rank. And the first name safety. That I came up with
– safety. Yeah,
we'll get another safety this year. I looked at him. Don't get it wrong. I had to see who was there. The first name that got linked early on in these mock drafts was Byron Murphy II, the defensive tackle from Texas.
Yeah, I've heard that name quite a bit linked to Minnesota if we don't go quarterback and stay put.
I think he'll be sitting there at 11 regardless, and he would be a prime fit. I don't think it would be a reach. Remember this, 11 years ago when we had three first-rounders and we took Sharif Floyd first. This could be an option that the Vikings absolutely need. You need some help with the pass rush. I know that you got Andrew Van Ginkle. I know you got Jonathan Gennard, and you got
Ray
Cashman. But this is the Philadelphia Eagles model right here. Hey, fuck it. We're going to roll with the quarterback for a year. Maybe we see what Sam Darnold is. Maybe we don't. Maybe we'll wait till next year, blah, blah, blah. But we're just going to stack these gargoyles on the defensive line. And this is a good way to start it. This has been a need for the Vikings since Linval Joseph has left, in my opinion.
What did you guys think of Rick Spielman saying that Spencer Rattler would be great for the Vikings?
I think you should never listen to anything that Rick Spielman says about a quarterback ever.
Yeah,
I think you should never take quarterback advice from the guy who drafted Christian Ponder and Teddy Bridgewater. No fucking thank you.
Well, now, Teddy, I will
– I'm going to be the asshole of the show and say that.
I will back him up on Teddy.
I will say this. I understand why you jump into the first round and you want to get that fifth-year option. And there is always – the argument for Teddy will always be, what if he didn't tear his knee?
Mm-hmm.
But, dude – he's just a career backup after that.
We did see Teddy get plenty of opportunities after Minnesota, and he did kind of prove that, hey, he's a high level backup.
Well, it's also too, like, I'm saying that being the asshole of the show, I like Teddy. I think he's an outstanding human, and I like watching him play quarterback for us. But I also go to, what was the first place he went after the Vikings? Was it the Jets?
The Jets.
I can't say anything. The Jets are fucking terrible. It's all Carolina. About context. That's why I'm kind of rooting for Sam Darnold, because Carolina and the Jets being your first two stops, especially for who they had at the time he was there, dude, they were awful. They were terrible. So who knows? But
I would be okay if the Vikings drafted that defensive tackle. Brian Flores is a madman on defense, so of course you want to give him more weapons to go with. And like you said, they've had issues on that defensive line for a while now. So adding more talent, more pass rushing talent out there would be a net positive for this team.
Good.
I would not be opposed to that.
Net positive. I love that. I don't think we've ever said that on the show. Hell yeah. The other name that I've seen a lot, and I don't think he'll be there at 11. I think he'll go top 10, but the best edge rusher in this draft, not labeling linebackers and defensive ends, is Dallas Turner, the outside linebacker from Alabama. I also see Leetu Latu from UCLA. That's been mocked to the Vikings a few times.
Yep. And he's a name I've heard of quite a bit.
UCLA has three really good pass rushers in this draft, and all three are, I think, are going to come in the league and be good players.
Yeah, rounding out the pass rushers, Turner from Alabama, Latu from UCLA, and then I've seen Jared Verse mocked to the Vikings early on in mocks very much. Being an ACC guy, Florida State had a lot of angry fans this year. They didn't make it in the playoffs. They were undefeated. They didn't get picked. He was a driving force for their defense, and I wouldn't be upset with a defense. You can never go wrong. And this is where we make fun of boomers earlier. Colin Cowherd, I always watch. I guess I have to call myself a fan because I'm always watching his content, even though he is a goober. But he's got a great three-point model to say, if you want to start an NFL team, the positions you have to have locked down with bona fide franchise players are quarterback, left tackle, and pass rusher. And I think the Vikings have two of those.
Until the NFL does enough rule changes that you
can't. I don't mind the pass rusher that Minnesota went on and got in free agency. I mean, this team has done a good job of filling holes. And I know although they're not elite options at those positions, they got guys that are capable of doing the job. So I'm interested to see how all that will work out.
That's a good point. You know, I've said that on the show many times. We talk about the Bill Belichick thing was, you know, get rid of a player a year early, too late. So, you know, you don't hang on too long money wise, blah, blah, blah. And it's always, hey, if you let him go, did you upgrade? Is it worth it? I don't think the Vikings got worse in the offseason. I hate that they lost to Neil Hunter. And I know they've lost a couple of, that's the first one that came to mind, but I hate that they lost these players, but I don't think they got worse. I don't think going with youth, that is proven literally a couple months ago. Bernard had 10 sacks, and then Andrew Van Ginkle was like top 10 in pressures. I think they did their due diligence. I think they're doing the nerdy statistical picks rather than the sexy picks, and I kind of dig it.
Big Danielle Hunter guy, big Danielle Hunter fan right here. Don't know how much of a scheme fit he was for Brian Flores and what he wants to do with some of the stunts and moving players around in creative positions on the field. So like I've said previously, I think moving on from him, or allowing him to move on, I guess I should say, was kind of the right decision. You know, if they were more committed to running just the straight 4-3 Mike Zimmer base defense 99% of the time, you could have made a larger argument for keeping Danielle Hunter on the field, on the team, excuse me. But I do think that, like you said, he was a veteran player that you could make the case for moving on from a little bit.
I believe this is the guy I watched on Rich Eisen. Darius Robinson is another defensive player that's a really good one. He'll probably be a top first-round pick. That's another name to look out for if the Vikings were to stay put, or maybe they fall. Maybe the Vikings trade back up and find a player they need.
Do you see wide receiver as a need for Minnesota yet?
I can't see it. You've got the best receiver in the league, and you just did the first round replace Adam Thielen pick last year. I don't think that's a need. Let's say it out loud. What do you guys think are the biggest needs for the team right now? I personally believe the corners.
I was going to say excluding quarterback, right? We know quarterback is like probably the top need for the team right now. But outside of that one, I would still, you know, give me a corner. You can never have too many corners, and I would be okay with the team. Hey, if we have to stay put at 11 and 23 for whatever reason, spending one of those picks on a corner, I'm okay with that. Defensive end, like you said, I know we've addressed it a little bit in free agency, but you could give me another defensive end, defensive tackle. I would be okay with that. Linebacker, I think they've done pretty well with linebacker. Running back, I guess, on offense is the big position group that I think they need to address.
Now, when you say defensive end, do you mean defensive end or do you mean edge?
I still think 4-3 defense. I'm not smart enough for...
Because, you know, that's what I thought you meant. I just wanted to make sure that people listening understood
what you meant. Yeah, I'm not... I still don't know the correct 3-4 terminology, but give me Jared.
There's two ends and a tackle. So
yeah. That's give me Jared. Give me I'm stupid, but give me Jared Allen. That's just give me the pass rusher out there.
I need a hand in the dirt pass rusher. Call yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Whatever.
I agree with you, Kyle. Works. A corner is always going to be a need. You can never have too many shutdown corners or great nickel corners, whatever. I agree. Pass rusher of any kind on the line, whether it be a big boy run stuffer or pressure getter or pass rusher like traditionally. Running back is a good one. I'm still all aboard the sign Dalton Risner back, and if they
you're not keen on Blake Brandel starting at left guard.
Not really.
I thought he looked good last year.
I think that was I think that's one of the Kwesi economic signings, and that's fine because you have to have those at some position. But I will always be an advocate of having the best offensive line in football, and they don't right now. And I think the three in the middle are the weakest link, and that's not good for pressures. If Kirk Cousins struggles doing that and he's a top 10 quarterback any given Sunday, I can't imagine what a rookie's going to do. I don't think it's going to be better than what he did, even though they're going to be mobile.
And I'm not content with John Parker Romo at kicker. We need some competition. Kicker. That means someone who has kicked a field goal in the NFL, maybe. Someone that hasn't been bounced around the league that much.
Yeah, no contract extension. That's what I was saying, Jonathan. I want him back. He wants to be here. Like I said, we always said on the show.
Now, Dalton Risner recently changed his representative, so he might be a little different at teams trying to pursue him now. Mm-hmm. There might be more opportunities, more listening. I don't know. We'll hear.
Wes, Adam just answered that. He wants a competition. He wants someone else, and I'm okay with that too.
It's not like I hate John Parker Romo. It's just I'm not confident to bring him in this year without competition. I want to see him win the job.
I don't think
he's got a big leg, the biggest field goal, the longest field goal in XFL history. So you got to like that.
Yeah, I like it. I agree with you, though. I don't think you want to put all your eggs in that basket so soon. You got to have some kind of competition. I don't know if you draft a kicker. You typically don't draft a kicker, but you go into that kind of first wave of priority unsigned, undrafted players. Right. Is usually where your specialists go. I would not be surprised if you see the Vikings. We've seen them do this in the past, where they are able to guarantee one of those guys a fairly sizable contract to come in and get an opportunity with the Vikings. I wouldn't be surprised to actually see them do that with a kicker. Maybe someone that, if you don't get the job, we're going to put you on the practice squad, try to sneak you on there.
He does know the XFL kickoff rules pretty well.
That's a good point.
Which are the current NFL kickoff rules. Still don't know I think about that.
I like it because it's going to force teams to actually try to return, and it makes it safer. I understand the concept. I like this rule way more than I like that stupid hip drop tackle thing. I hate it.
Hip drop thing. I don't even want to get started.
We're trying to defy the laws of physics here. And I understand you don't want players to get injured. But at some point, you have to protect the integrity of the game. They worry about concussions and CTE for so long. And now the game has shifted. They had to shift how they tackle people because you couldn't take their head off their body like we used to do for 50 years. Okay, yeah. That's cool. I understand that. You don't want to paralyze people. Well, now everyone tears their ACL in their career because everybody's targeting low below the hips. So,
what's interesting about this new kickoff rule, I was thinking about this the other day too, is that you can have, we can keep Kenye on the team and you can do kickoffs all the time for us whenever we want. But if there's a situation where the game is on the line, realistically, you could put Justin Jefferson back there to field a kick. And he's not he's not going to get hit with he's not going to get blasted like what he would have before. You could put JJ back there. Dude's going to return it to the house.
Do you remember back when Patrick Peterson was returning kicks for Arizona? And everybody was like, well, he's the best starting corner they got. He's an all-pro. Why are you doing this? And these days, I think that the threat of being a return man isn't as scary anymore. So if you want to put a really dynamic player back there, you do have that opportunity, like you're saying.
Could be interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong, but basically from what I watched, because they did a video explaining this, you're basically sending just one wave of defenders. So if you can find the hole, now so it's going to be harder because basically the width of the field is going to be covered. But if you find that one seam and that perfect block at the
I'm saying.
They're going to find a way to get through, and I think
that's what I'm saying. You give – so they're what, 10 yards? They're what, 10 yards apart, and then they – you know, your two sides are going to meet up. JJ, with a full head of steam, is running with the football in his hand. He makes one move, and then he's got to get by the fucking kicker. I mean, come on, dude. He's taking
if you
that
make a couple guys miss,
time.
You're gone.
Yeah, it's a good rule for safety.
It is.
And I'm glad that it
is. I am excited about that. The hip drop,
but
no.
Think about how hard this is going to be for kickers because now they got that, what is it, a 20-yard area where they have to land the kick. Otherwise, they're getting penalized and the ball's
That's what I like about it, though, because everything that we've seen since they changed it has just been an automatic touchback. Now you got to have a little more precision. So, oh, well, you don't have to kick it as hard. Wah, who fucking cares?
That's going to take some getting used to.
It will take some. I'm not saying it's not going to be hard. I just hate
powering that thing out the back of the end zone.
I just hate that you're telling, like, and I'm not saying you're saying this specifically, Adam. Don't think that, please. But I hate that we would hear people on the internet say, oh, well, that's going to be this, that. That's your one job is to kick the fucking football. What do you mean?
Well, let's be honest, too. During TV broadcasts, when they have a commercial break, they come back, kicker, boom, they go to the back of the end zone, another commercial break. It's like, great.
Yeah. Exactly. It's another way to keep eyeballs on, boost ratings, and it just so happens to be beneficial for the viewer. So that's kind of a win-win. But
the hip drop tackle, I still do not understand if you're a defender coming up behind or at an angle with a running back who's in the open field, how are you supposed to tackle him from?
Well, you're not supposed to tackle him high. You're not supposed to tackle him low, and no, you can't. Wrap up from the waist and try to take them down with your momentum by swinging.
You're gonna have to do like a barrel roll.
Can you chop block them at the knees? I mean, are we? I mean, is that what's gonna happen? Are we?
Yeah. Are they gonna use all the film the Detroit Lions use on T.J. Hockenson?
Shoestring tackles only.
Yeah.
So we can just tear everybody's knee apart now.
I don't know how the league. I don't know. At some point. I agree with Pat McAfee. You just have to have the players sign a waiver that says it's a dangerous, violent sport. I'm going to get hurt. I'm not going to sue you. It's football. Or put flags on him.
Don't ever put flags on. Don't even give that option. Just have them sign it and make the NFL be accountable for holding these guys accountable for taking care of them medically if they fuck it up because they're running around for our entertainment. That's not that hard to – It's not that hard to do that.
There are always plays that, as fans, we can understand why they would want to take out of the game. Remember the high-low hit on Brett Favre?
Absolutely
devastating, and the league took that out of the game. And we're all like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Or when the more we've learned about concussions and the more, like, you want to protect, you know, players around in their head. We all understand you don't want to tackle players like that. But they're going overboard on some of these rules, and it feels less like they're trying to protect the player's health and more like we want every game to be a 55-point shootout with Patrick Mahomes on offense and just touchdown.
I think the league's trying to protect their investments, their star receivers, their star quarterbacks, and these rules are just making it not only extremely hard on defenders, but they're, I won't say diluting the game, but they're changing the game in the process.
I want to change that sentence, though. Not that I want to change you, Adam. I hate that they say and the thing goes, well, they're protecting their investment. You're not investing shit in these players. They get a percentage of $1 billion. Every NFL team makes
– Oh, it's not the player billion. That's invested. It's a contract.
Yeah.
Every NFL team is worth B, with a B as in Bravo, billions of dollars. So they're getting fucking chump change compared to what the team is making. I hate that fucking saying for this – whole franchise and this whole sport because they're making so much more money. And it's like, well, we got to keep these guys around. Let's call it what it is. We want to protect our ratings. You don't want to protect a player. You want to protect your cash flow. That's what they want to do. And I understand business-wise, we want to keep eyeballs going, but they don't give a fuck about these players. No, they want to get paid. We know what they're doing. I'm always going to advocate for them. I know I sound like a friggin' jerk when I say that, but till they prove me wrong on that, much like the UFC, UFC just got sued because they wouldn't pay for people's surgeries and all this other medical stuff. And it's like, your job is literally to beat the shit out of people. What are you doing? We're not paying for that. It's kind of weird. Anyways, I'm on a tangent. I don't want to lose you. Back to the topic at hand. 11-23. Like, if they stay put, and this would be the scenario I would be okay with. I am going to exclude quarterback Bo Nix from going at 11 or 23. 23 would be the only, ingestible day for me as a Vikings fan to be like, I can tolerate this. But at 11, J.J. McCarthy is there at 11. I am much, much happier rather than them going all the way to 4. I don't want Michael Penix Jr. at 11. I think you can wait. I do think Michael Penix Jr. is the best pocket passer. They've said this many times in analyzing him. He's got a great arm. Maybe I'm too much of a jerk who looks at his past injuries, because I'll give him credit. He's played 2 full seasons without getting hurt since he transferred from Indiana to Washington. I just don't know that I trust lefties, man. I don't. It's weird. Everything changes, even though it's like.
Smith, I got a question for you. So Vikings miss out on me, Daniels, McCarthy, Penix, and Nix. What are you going to do? I mean,
you're going to play Sam Darnold the whole year.
Do you play Sam Darnold for a year and then look next year? Or
yes.
Do you look at one of the later? Do you look at Spencer Rattler?
I hope not. And that's just my personal feelings towards him, because everything – and it's not like I'm making this shit up just because I don't like him because he played it at school I don't like or something like that. I literally talked to him. She told you the story on the show. An NFL scout said he is cancer. He is the epitome of cancer. He's a young, immature, dumbass kid, and he's not good for a locker room. I don't want that kid anywhere near this team. And – it's not that I don't think – it's not like he would beat Sam Darnold out anyway, in my opinion. It's don't waste your assets on a person like that. And if he comes in the league and proves me wrong, cool. I look like a jerk, and who cares, because I'm on the podcast that nobody listens to. But I have heard too many things, and this is not just from one guy that I sat down and had lunch beside of. This has been documented several times out there. It's like, hey, he's kind of a pain in the ass. I'm good. Because at that point, what's the difference between a fourth and fifth round versus a fourth, fifth rounder we have on the team already at Jarrett Hall? Why not?
Yeah.
Vikings Twitter wanted to pound the table and be like, he needs more opportunities. Well, now you're the backup. Get ready, son.
Well, you see a lot of takes on social media saying Minnesota needs a quarterback this year no matter what.
Yeah, but
you can't think that way.
Yeah.
You can't force that and say, like, well, I'm going to make this fifth round guy be Russell Wilson for me.
That's how you end up with Christian Ponder.
Oh. Or
that, I'm serious.
Worse, dude. Like,
yeah.
At least Christian took you to the playoff, albeit he just had to turn around and hand the ball off that season. But damn, like, that's how you pigeonhole yourself into going backwards. And I think the steam that momentum that this team has right now, that stops it when you have to do that.
Just
roll with Darnold for a year.
I mean, and I know you don't know.
But then you get everybody saying you're wasting Justin Jefferson's years.
Yeah.
You know what I say to that, though? Yeah. Here's my argument with that. I understand that all these guys on every single team want to win a Super Bowl, but the mathematics tell you that 8% of the NFL is one team. It's less than that. It's got to be less than that. My math is off on that. Let's do – it's 3%. So 3% of the league make up – every team is 3%, right? So you have a 3% chance every year that your team's going to hold the championship up every year. At some point, especially for Jefferson, he's been playing on kind of a discount deal at the moment. At some point when you get paid, like he's going to get paid in Minnesota, it's, okay, which one do you want more? Because I don't think you're going to get this deal anywhere else at the same point of, oh, yeah, but I'm guaranteed to go to a Cincinnati or a Philadelphia or a Kansas City. You're not going to get to do that there because they're throwing their money at the quarterbacks, and they already have number ones on all their teams outside of
Kansas. Now, I did bring up Jefferson for a reason, because he is in line. If he does not get an extension, he will be a free agent after the season, so they got to get something done. But the Minnesota Vikings have also said they are including Justin Jefferson in conversations about the quarterback, and I've seen some Vikings fans not like that one bit.
I don't understand why. You didn't tell him that he gets to be Kwesi that day.
Yeah.
It's not like Justin Jefferson's going to have the final say on draft day.
I'm blank right now because I don't understand how anyone can get mad about it. It's not like they call him, like, Kevin O'Connell's like, okay, can you give me the 1 through 5? Like, who's the guy you really want the most? They're not having that conversation with him. That's not their job. That's not his job. That's not their
job. I think what that really means is that they're keeping them in the loop, saying, we are looking at quarterbacks in the draft. We did get Sam Darnold, and we feel that he can be good for you.
Do people forget that just because this is sports, that it's also not a job? I mean, it's a job. Justin Jefferson works for the Minnesota Vikings.
And he's Kwesi, a consummate professional.
Kwesi is his boss. Okay. Does your boss come to you, Kyle Smith, for every single thing that happens at your job? No.
Not the general manager level. Absolutely not. And when they do,
no, they like, don't.
I'm yes, sir, no, sir. My shirt's tucked in. Everything looks great. I'm like, yeah. How are you today? Like, maybe it's different where I work, like, but it's like
I give them feedback like my big supervisors, and they take it or they don't, or they implement it or they don't, and that's how jobs work, people. Like, this is Justin Jefferson's job. It's
but
a fun
do you think
job.
Justin Minnesota doesn't go get a better quarterback or a quarterback with some potential that you think Justin Jefferson will walk?
I don't think he would walk because he's had up until this point, and this was – it kind of worked out perfectly with him going down in week 5, I think it was, and then Kirk going down in week 8. He only had to deal with not Kirk Cousins for like 4 or 5 games. He's had 3 years of consistent quarterback play. If you can't handle 1 year of a little bit of adversity, my dude, it's going to be a tough sledding for you because the percentage of NFL players who don't even make it to a Super Bowl, much less win one – the odds say that's probably going to be you. But if he's really true in what he said, and I want to believe him, I'm dumb and naive enough to want to believe him, where he said, I want to be the greatest receiver of all time, you're going to have to play a season or two with a Sam Darnold. And I'm not talking shit about Sam Darnold at all. He's a middle-of-the-road, top 25 quarterback. He can get it done. Of course everybody wants to play with Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. Of course. That's not how the game works. That's not how business works, Kyle. That's not how any of this works. So at what point are you going to establish yourself to have that DeAndre Hopkins attitude that says, you know, what did he say when he went to whatever team? It was like, shout out to my 20 quarterbacks I've caught touchdowns from. Who fucking cares, man? If you're that dude, you should be like, I don't give a shit who's back there. They're going to give me the ball, and I'm going to score. Like,
have you ever seen the video of Randy Moss breaking down every quarterback that he's caught passes from?
No.
Oh, my God. It is insane. He goes through, like, 20 different quarterbacks that he caught passes from for the duration of his career. And he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he played in a couple, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and he's in that conversation for the top 2 or 3 greatest wide receivers of all time. And sometimes that's just what happens. And Justin Jefferson, of course, we want him to win a Super Bowl. Of course, we want it to be in Minnesota. That might be what happens because sometimes life isn't fair.
Well, he should be proud of himself, too, because he came back from injury. He had many games out. He was out for a significant chunk of time. He still kept his 1,000-yard status. He is the guy until he isn't. I think it would be great. And he's got to understand, and he has to know this, now that he's a pro's pro. He's going into year 5 of his career. He is hitting his prime. You have to understand that the way that the NFL is set up, personnel-wise and draft-wise and team-building-wise, there's a point of being excited about an investment and understanding how much of an investment the quarterback is. And he has to trust Kevin O'Connell. He's got to understand. He has to know. He has to. I have to believe that he knows. Going from Mike Zimmer to Kevin O'Connell, he's going to get the ball. He is going to be the focal point of the offense. And then he trusts the coach to be like, hey, man, I'm going to get a dude back here that's got a killer arm, and he's going to be the future. You just have to work with him for like a season or two while we fine-tune this shit, and then you guys are going to be unstoppable. He's got to trust in that. And
if he doesn't and he ends up wanting to leave, like, I'll be sad because I think he's way better than Diggs was. But also at the end of the day, like, y'all remember what I said a month ago. I said, if this is what it comes down to, I'll take two first rounds for this dude. Have fun wherever you go. You're going to be great for somebody else. But
I was going to say, I'll earn the thumbs down for the show this week when I will say, there's life after whoever your favorite Minnesota Viking is, and no matter how dominant and how good they are at their position, there's life after all of them. There was life after Randy, life after Randy Moss. There was life after Adrian Peterson, life after Jared Allen. And guess what? There will be life after Justin Jefferson. Now, I hope that that comes after the end of a 10-year career and we've won multiple Super Bowls and he's going into the Ring of Honor and he's going into the Hall of Fame as a Minnesota Viking. I truly hope that happens. But if his attitude, and I don't think that this is going to happen before anyone downvotes us, but if his attitude dictates otherwise, then like you said, Smith, you move on. You move on. It happens.
Do you feel like there's extra pressure going to be on Justin Jefferson this year since TJ Hockenson is probably going to start on the PUP list?
That depends.
Potentially, but I think that he's okay to handle it.
Depends on how
I like Jordan Addison and I like Brandon Powell, but you know, TJ Hockenson can take over a game. We saw games last year where he had 14 targets, 9 targets, 7 targets, or whatever, you know, games where he was the focal point of the offense, even when Justin Jefferson was suited up. So, I mean,
it depends on how good Josh Oliver is. I mean, if we're being honest, I like that they're keeping Nick Muse. I love Johnny Munt. I'm such
a Johnny Munt fan.
He is everything that a tight end number 3 is, and I fucking love him for that.
But you're not going to get Munt 13 targets in a game.
No, of course not. Can we give Josh Oliver 6 targets a game and he catch 5 of them? Is CJ Ham coming back? You know, like, probably. What is it going to look like until he comes back? How can they adjust? But I don't know. How's Aaron Jones going to look in purple? There's a lot of questions there, man. Like, you're right. He probably won't start the season, but excited to see what they come up with, especially now that the running game will actually have a pulse.
Hopefully, we don't know yet.
We know so.
It can't be any worse. It cannot be any worse than last year.
Don't say that. We've had more success with Matt
Cam Akers and Ty Chandler came in and made it look like, okay, Minnesota can run for touchdowns with running backs. Yeah. It can happen.
The end zone can be found. It's not a mythical place.
I mean, Josh Dobbs ran a couple in.
Yeah, that's sad. Running back had more splash running plays. To round out our conversation and get the show, you know, wrapped up, there were a couple of corners, and these are all plug and play. I did include a Clemson quarterback, although they have burned the shit out of us, not in a good way, the last couple times. So I'm very weary of Clemson quarterbacks while Dabo Swinney is coach there. I don't want any one of those guys. Mackenzie Alexander, and now who's the guy we have? The Clemson quarterback on the team that never plays.
I'm not sure. I don't follow college sports very heavy.
Who's it? It's not a Caleb Evans. It's the guy below him on the depth chart. He's been on the team a year or two.
Not Booth?
Andrew Booth. Yes. That's him. Mackenzie Alexander, Andrew Booth have been very disappointing, and I don't want to see that happen again. There are some Iowa cornerbacks that I'm interested in. Cooper DeJean and then Iowa State's TJ Tampa.
So I am big on Mekhi Blackman. I think he's going to be good if you keep giving him time to develop. Caleb Evans, I think, struggled a little bit last year, but
yep.
I think he's a capable backup. And I like the two veterans that they got as starters on the outside at the moment. So,
oh, that's right.
I am not sure that corner is as huge of a need as a lot of people are saying it is.
I forgot about the Houston Texans corner, the former Seattle corner that we got. Yeah, he's a solid veteran.
Jack attack.
Maybe it's not. Toledo corner, and then there's another. I think he's Alabama. We got Kool-Aid McKinstry, cool ass name.
Like you guys are saying, I would never object to any drafting of a cornerback. You need as much talent at that position as possible.
Well, I bring it up, Adam, because at 23, that's when you see a lot of them go. Like, I was very surprised to see 4 wide receivers taken in a row last year. I always feel like the 20s and late teens are always where corners go. And those sexy luxury positions are the ones that go kind of early. But this feels, all of those guys feel like a number 23 pick in this scenario where we stay put. Like I said earlier, Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback in Washington, he would be the only quarterback left that I would love to see. I don't see there's a universe ever where J.J. McCarthy falls that far. He won't pass by Denver or Oakland. But he would be cool at 23.
Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right. Shit. Sorry. Dude, that'll never change. I literally just went there for the Super Bowl. What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm sorry.
CTE.
I was kind of laughing to myself.
But, yeah, Michael Penix at 23. I wouldn't hate it if he's going to be your dude. If they like him enough. Everything that we've been seeing, and I don't know what you've got a little more in-depth for, like, sources and, like, people who have to know Adam, but everything that I'm seeing is linking the Vikings to Drake May. I certainly hope that's what it is. Have seen them tied to J.J. McCarthy. I would hate to see the reach. But at the end of the day, after that big moment happens, like when you go on a roller coaster or you go through a haunted house and now all the adrenaline's gone and they make their selection and whomever it is, all three of us, you guys know here to wrap up the show, we're going to support whoever it is because we want to see them win. This team is gearing up. You know, a year ago we were saying competitive rebuild, and now we're looking at the roster and we're like, dude, we're a quarterback away from kicking everybody's ass.
It's yeah.
Be great. So,
all right, Wes, I got a question for you.
Okay.
How much is too much to move up to number three?
How much is too much to move up to number three?
At what point do you say no deal?
I am not giving up our first round pick in 2025. I'm not doing it. I'm keeping the 2025 first round pick. I'll throw you 11, 23, and 2025, like second round pick, third round pick, something like that. If you need to sweeten the deal to move up to it, I'm not giving up that first round pick. The Vikings have so much cap space in 2025 to work with. And if they, let's say we draft a quarterback, but we start Sam Darnold anyway, that could be a high draft pick for the team. You're entering that situation where you could go insane in free agency, and you could also have a really high draft pick. Come on, dude. Like, you don't hinge that bet.
Kyle Smith does.
Oh, 100%. If you nail the quarterback, nobody gives a shit that you got a tight end number one or cornerback one. If you get the quarterback, that is, and I understand the percentage of this is small. I realize saying that it's very small. But let's say you draft and he ends up being CJ Stroud. Just use him because it's low hanging fruit.
Okay.
Let's say you draft him and year two he comes out. Drake May goes to the Vikings and he's CJ Stroud in 2025. We're like, I don't give a flying fuck who that they were going to pick at this point. That's cool because we don't have to worry about this, hopefully, barring injuries, for 8, 9, 10 years. And now we have all that time. And to counter your point, Kyle, if you have all that cap space, if this was a cap-stricken team, I would be like, hold on to the draft picks. Hold on. If you have all that cap, fuck it. Get rid of it. You have money to spend on people, man, because this is – you can't overstate enough when you nail the quarterback down. And just for 5 years, you can actually say, okay, we have a window now. That's all I want them to get to because we don't talk about this enough. I know we just talked about it. But when you pay Justin Jefferson what he's going to get paid, you're in the window because when that second contract comes around, the team's going to be like, you're getting kind of old and we don't want to pay you that much again. Are you going to be able to offset it for that 3 or 4 year deal that Justin Jefferson gets?
Because Jefferson and Darisaw are going to get paid.
They are, and then you're going to want to offset that by 4 years of not paying rookie. So that's right. The only reason I'm for it. I understand completely what you're saying, and you could literally – what Kyle's model is, I'll tell you what Kyle's doing. He is the San Francisco 49ers right now. That's what he's doing. And it's smart because he's just going to make every position have like a
blue chip. Imagine when the 49ers don't pay Brock Purdy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, whoever comes in will do just as good because the team fucking rules. That's what it's going to be. And I think they're going to keep him because they like him. But I'm the Los Angeles Rams. I'm like, trade 3 picks for Matt Stafford.
My scenario is also contingent upon the Vikings being smart in the first round in the future, which we have seen them having some struggles with a little bit here recently. I don't want to knock the new GM too much. But you're right. If you were just going to keep drafting Lewis Seen in the first round, then I'm going to say it. I don't give a shit. Then just give him the first round pick and go get a quarterback.
Every day that passes, I get more and more fucking mad about the Lewis Seen pick because Kyle Hamilton was there and he looked so damn good in that last game they played. In the playoffs where they won, they beat the Browns. Dude, he looked incredible. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, could have been a Viking. What a fucking great decision that was.
I don't get Lewis Seen. I don't get it.
Well, you're going to have to give him one more chance because he ain't going anywhere.
What's not there? I don't expect you guys to actually know it.
I think that the previous defensive coordinator saw Lewis Seen and had plans for him. But once that defensive coordinator is gone, I mean.
Everything that went wrong for him could. Like, Murphy's Law came into effect for Lewis.
Dude. But Brian Flores is insane. How can Brian Flores look at you and go, man, I don't have a spot? Like, that tells me there's something wrong with his play.
Well, that's the thing, though, that Metellus is good. Cam Bynum's good. Harrison Smith is still good. Like, I don't see the room for him. I don't think that he's a bad player yet. I just don't think he's had an opportunity yet because they did too good of a job of getting.
But you can't have a first round pick not getting dressed on field on game day.
They can't run him on, like, go make a play on special teams. Contribute
somehow.
Yeah. NFL's cutting special teams out. You know what I mean.
But yeah, I wanted to ask you that, Wes, because I've been seeing that conversation a lot with people not wanting to give up too much to move up to three. And at this point, I just want to throw everything against the wall and say, go get your guy.
Here is, and I will freely admit this, and then we can end the show, is that I am still a little bit terrified Vikings fan, where it's like, we are going to bet the farm.
Which is okay.
That's completely understandable.
We're going to bet the farm, and we're going to end up with, like, the fourth or fifth best quarterback on the board, and we're going to end up with Christian Ponder, and we're going to be like, holy shit, we gave up three draft picks, and we drafted a terrible player, and I don't want that to happen. But I completely understand your point of view, Adam, where it's like you have to go for it. Yep. If you don't try, you don't end up with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, let's be honest here. Most first-round quarterbacks are not hits. Most will miss. Most will struggle. Mm-hmm. But you got to hope you're scouting, your conversations with the player. You got to hope everything goes well and then just roll the dice.
Tommy, what a fucking clutch comment.
He's not wrong
around here. I'll tell you what's crazy, because I know he started week two his rookie year. Zimmer didn't want to start him. I'll tell you, I will die on this hill. You can look it up. It's the COVID year. The Vikings start out 0-3. They go to Houston, Texas, week four. I saw the timing, and it's a shout-out to Kirk Cousins, too, but I watched Justin Jefferson. Didn't even know where the ball was. I mean, of course he's ran the route. He knows the general area. But to have the ball in the air and he hadn't turned his body around yet, I looked, and that's the first thing I said. I'm like, how in the fuck did this kid not start week one? How? Because it was the first home game that year. We played against the Titans, right? We lost the game, but Jefferson had like two touchdowns. He's got that first dance, first gritty, and then zone. Oh, he's good. He's real good. Because the defender is like falling over top of each other. But yeah, go look that up tonight. That'll be your guys' homework. Go look up week four 2020. See if they have that highlight on. It's the left side of the field. Kirk Cousins make a throw to his left. And the ball's in the air. Jefferson still hasn't seen it, but he locates it. And I'm like, oh, he's that good. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, at least they won't make a Herschel Walker trade again. Yeah, you say that now.
But
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say something that you guys are all going to hate.
Okay.
From the Vikings standpoint, the way they were thinking, the Herschel Walker trade wasn't that bad. Minnesota thought they were trading all these players, but they were all the conditional things that came with trading those players was what killed that trade. When Dallas decided to cut them instead of play them, oh my goodness.
The Vikings,
that's when the whole thing changed.
I know what you mean. The Vikings got outplayed on that one because they thought the They thought the players that they were trading were going to start for the Cowboys.
Yep.
They did not envision a scenario in which Dallas was just going to, I don't want to say screw them over. The Vikings knew that that would, like, they knew that that was a potential that would happen. They did not realize that that's what Dallas was actually going to do.
Oh, yeah. That whole trade, if you go and, like, read everything about that, wild.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those players could have started for Dallas, and they were like, nope.
Nope.
We're getting picks. See you later.
Bless Jimmy Johnson. He was ahead of his time on that moment, for sure.
But I'm glad we're on that phase where Minnesota's trying to, like, just slightly tweak the roster every year and try to get better and be like, okay, now this year we're a championship team. It finally feels like Minnesota's taking a step back and saying, we know what we have to do to get better, and we're going to make these moves now and do it. And that's got me excited for the future of this franchise.
It's a good point, man. This will be my little wrap up for the show, but it's a good point, because you don't realize until you become a nerd of a team, like all three of us are, is you don't realize how many different subtle ways, because it's very small, the little outcomes, much like the game, you know, it usually comes down to two or three plays. It's very subtle, but there's so many different weird, unique ways you can build a team. Like the way that San Francisco has built their team, obviously every team is out there trying to nail every pick and every player is great and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, reality is, it's not going to happen. You can have the guy who is just a salary cap wizard in Philadelphia, and Howie Roseman or whatever the guy's name is. And he's, I don't know how they keep getting literally star players to come in and be like, cool. But because they nail their draft and they nail a couple free agents 2 years in a row, now you got a super team. Or you could have, like, shout out to the division rival. Green Bay does very well about drafting in-house talent and keeping them. Not a lot of teams do that. They don't go out big in free agency and all that. They've been doing that for years. So it's just fun to see, like,
I can't believe Jordan Love might work out for them. Blows my mind.
It's smart to sit your quarterback for a year. Don't throw him in the fire. Not every year you're going to have C.J. Stroud work out.
How did they do it?
We'll see. He's got to maintain. I think he'll be more Dak Prescott than Aaron Rodgers, but that's
– Yeah, when they take a quarterback – when the Vikings take a quarterback, we as a fan base collectively have to work really, 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 really hard on not getting pissed off when it's week three and Sam Darnold has thrown an interception or two, to be like, start the rookie, start the rookie, start the rookie, start the rookie. No, we need to ride out Sam Darnold and, like, let the young player get acclimated to the system and the offense and not rush it on the field. Because assuming you still have your 2025 first round pick, it would not be awful to have another top 10 pick next year, assuming you got your quarterback that you're planning on building around this year in the draft.
I get it. Tommy Gunn, thank you for making a paragraph make me insanely angry before I go to the gym. I need motivation tonight. I'm going to shit all over this. No and no again. Tommy says, what about trading Jordan Addison in the 11th to Arizona for the 4th? They do not get Marvin Harrison Jr., but they get a quality wide receiver and they don't lose out of the first round pick. First of all, if you have kids listening, I'm going to swear, fuck Arizona and fuck the entire Cardinals organization. I don't give a shit about them. Number two, you're settling for J.J. McCarthy here, and I know you're better than that. Don't do that. We're trading with New England, and you're going to have to get on board with me on getting Drake May or Jake Daniels at number 3. One of that's going to happen. If we trade up to 4 and get J.J. McCarthy, I'm going to break a record on YouTube for the amount of F words I say on this live draft coverage we do that night. I do not want it. Please don't put that into existence. A lot of people already have. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I still love you.
So let's say J.J. McCarthy does go at like 2. Drake May 3, Jaden Daniels 4. Arizona takes Jaden Daniels. Do you inquire about Kyler Murray?
No, how you pay him in Jefferson.
Kyler did get paid, and Minnesota does have that salary cap coming up.
Yeah,
I don't know how you pay both of them. He's got some injury history too. I don't like that. I like the way he plays ball. I think he's a good football player.
I don't want Kyler Murray.
I don't have any desire.
I just figured I'd throw that out there because it's another scenario I've seen on social media quite a bit.
Give me Ryan Tannehill over Kyler Murray.
No, don't give up. We're going backwards.
Well, on that note, I do want to thank everyone who joined us in chat and everybody that listens, no matter where you are. I guess Apple is going to be doing an Apple podcast update here soon. So if you listen to us there, we might not be available for a few hours, but I try to upload the show to our different channels.
What are you doing every with night, the graphics,
every day after the
man?
Show? So it's usually 24 hours or so after the show, we get it up on other channels. So, and you can always go to YouTube and see all our chronicle of shows on there if you want to. We're there. In the meantime, you can check out my work over on the Viking Age, where I've been pumping out a lot of articles lately. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the Viking Age has kind of moved away from doing the slideshow format. So nice. If you hated clicking on slides, you don't really got to worry about that anymore. Everything's on one page now. There are ads. That's why we don't ask you guys for a subscription like other sports sites do sometimes. But I'd appreciate it if you could go to the Viking Age, check out my work and support me. That'd be great. Also, you can go to @MNVikingZombie at every social media channel. You can talk to me there. We do stream over on my Twitch channel @MNVikingZombie. And you can talk to me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere that there's social media. I'll be there.
Adam, I don't know what your plans are Sunday. I hate to put you on the spot.
WrestleMania.
Okay, no movie review that day. Just kidding. We'll try next week.
I want to watch Cody Rhodes not finish his story.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to get some thumbs on the studio for saying that, but you know what? Yeah. Roman.
You can acknowledge him, Adam.
I did.
Acknowledge Roman
and I
Reigns.
Will.
You can acknowledge me on Blue, what is it? Blue Square, Blue Sky?
Blue Sky at Social.
At Bakely Square.
Blue Square.
I don't where you can tell. I don't work for them. You can follow me at Bakely Square if you want. I post some of my photography work.
We get to make fun of them. This team is stupid, but they're our stupid team.
Yeah, it is.
You can also shop Kyle West's photography here at kylewest84.pickfair.com. Please support both of these fellas. Go to the Viking
Share it
Age.
On social media.
Go buy some photos. You don't have to break the bank. It's a nice gesture. I'm here on the old Instagram and the Twitter machine or X, whatever you'd like to call it. And
X,
that'll be
formerly
it.
Twitter.
That's how I write it in every article over on the Viking Age.
That is the name of the company now. X, formerly Twitter.
Hey, we started the show with this, and I want to start it. I want to end it again.
Diabetes?
Please take care of yourselves. Yes. Everyone go drink 400 gallons of soda and get diabetes with me. Yeah, take care of yourselves, please. I'm not telling you to become one of those, you know, I'm going to pick on vegans or CrossFit people that's their whole personality, but do what you can to make yourself live longer. If you haven't been to the doctor,
take care of yourself. It,
what's up, NC Sports? Sorry I didn't end the show. Thank you for listening, though. Just go. I have to use myself as the example, and I will pick on myself first before anyone else, always. I avoided the doctor ever since COVID. I didn't go since COVID started, and I had a few issues, and if you can afford it, please go. Take care of yourselves. We would like to see more of you here in the comments, talking to us, talking about everything. Because we, as you see, we include everybody in the show, and we talk about everything, and we want to keep the family here. We want to grow it. So thank you, guys.
If you are a Minnesota Vikings fan, you better take care of your health, because we're in this for the long haul before we win a Super Bowl. So
right.
Go do it.
Yeah, thanks again to everyone. Go Bayside Tigers. And remember to stay close.